All right, let's start with first things first, okay? You know, first we need to define the soul of man. What the nature of man was before salvation. How many of you see that's necessary? We've got to define what the nature of man is before salvation. All right? Now, we're going to make these comparisons, and even though you may have heard them before, follow along, because you're going to see tremendous insight into what we've been talking about. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, so the physical part is man formed of the dust of the ground. That's your body. Everybody agree? The physical part is your body. Hello, Dan. Welcome. Everybody agrees. The physical part is your body. God formed man of the dust of the ground. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That's your spirit. That's your spirit. And man became a living soul. So the living soul of man is body and spirit together as one. The living soul of man is body and spirit together as one. Is this true or not true? So therefore, the soul is the union of body and spirit together as one. Now, how did it become a corrupt union? The way that God created it is that the spirit had headship, because God is spirit, right? Now, let's deal with this quite frankly. Remember in John 4? Jesus said that God is a spirit, and he seeks those who will worship in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit, isn't he? So what component of that soul, body and spirit, is directly under God? Body or spirit? Come on. What component, in that order of body and spirit together as a soul, what component is the article, is the component of worship and communion with God? Right. A spirit communes with spirit. But we've seen that, let's look what happened in the garden. Now we're going to do the second part of this. I want you to keep body and spirit in mind. Now let's look at Adam and Eve. Can we not say that Adam, the man, was the one who had headship and therefore pictures the spirit? Eve was in submission to Adam and therefore pictures the body. She's the weaker vessel. Let's take it a step at a time. So we see that the order would have been God, who is spirit, man, who pictures the spirit, and then woman, who's in submission to the man. Right? So we see that the union of man and woman together is like a living soul, huh? For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, shall cleave together with his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So just like man and woman become one flesh, spirit and body become a living soul. Can you see that? Now, what happened in the garden? What do we see demonstrated through Adam and Eve? Don't we see that Adam gave in to his wife's desires rather than God's? In other words, Adam chose to please Eve rather than God, right? Eve partook of the fruit she was not supposed to, right? So Adam partook of what Eve wanted rather than what God wanted. Isn't that a lot like you, spirit and body, in that union of the soul, and your spirit chooses to please your flesh rather than God? Isn't that the same picture? So we see that the soul of man became reiterated, its order. Instead of the body being in submission to the spirit, who is in submission to God, the spirit is cut off from God through disobedience by sowing to the body's desires. And therefore, the spirit becomes in bondage to the body's desires. Because whatever you give yourself to will take you. So we see the corruption of man's soul, don't we? Now the body has headship rather than the spirit. And that's the corrupt nature of man. How many of you see that? The spirit became in bondage to the body's desires by giving in to them rather than God. In the same way that Adam gave in to Eve's desires rather than God. So we see what's demonstrated. Now, who reiterated the soul? Where did corruption came in? It came in when Satan came to Eve, didn't it? So instead of God giving power to man to live, right? We see now Satan has deceived them as if he's the power. The soul become reiterated by Satan. Can you see that? And so it's a corruption of what was meant to be. It's a corruption of what was meant to be. So this is the problem we have, isn't it? This is the corrupt nature of man. When we talk about man being evil and a sinner, this is what we're talking about. Now let's look at another portion of this and you tell me if it's not true. Let's look at it through Adam and Eve. Now Adam was dependent upon God and Eve was dependent upon Adam. Is this true or not true? Adam was dependent upon God and Eve was dependent upon Adam. That's the way it was in the beginning. Right? So, Adam and Eve were perpetually renewed by their relationship with God. Now, Adam and Eve were flesh just like us, weren't they? But their bodies were renewed as long as they were in proper relationship to God, right? They were just like us. They were corruptible, but they remained uncorrupted as long as God was their head. As long as they were in proper order, huh? But when they sinned, Adam was cut off from God, wasn't he? And so to his wife. And by Adam sowing to his wife's desires, does the body have the power to renew that marriage? Does Eve have the power to keep them going? So they began to corrupt, being cut off from God. They weren't renewed anymore. You see that? It's just like fruit being in the tree, isn't it? As long as the fruit remains in the tree, it's renewed, right? Daily. But what happens when the tree flings the fruit? If nobody picks up that piece of fruit and eats it, what happens to it? It begins to corrupt, huh? It rots. So you can see through this, the same thing happened with body and spirit. God is a spirit. Adam pictured the spirit. So our spirits, our bodies were renewed through our spiritual relationship with God. But once that spiritual relationship was lost, it was like the tree flinging its fruit, huh? And the body begins to corrupt. That corruption starts in the inside and goes to the outside to bring forth death. And so you see what happens with the nature of man. The spirit is immediately cut off, and then the body eventually dies because it eventually corrupts, right? And corruption brings forth death. Now, how many of you see that picture? How many of you see that as being an inexactitude? I mean, that's exactly the way what happened. You see it demonstrated in the relationship of man and woman, and body and spirit, and their union. So man's nature is a corrupt union. The sinful nature is a corrupt union of body and spirit together. You understand? It's a soul. The soul of Adam is our sin nature. How many of you see that? That's not true, Lillison. You need to listen. That's not true. Our spirit and soul have not been redeemed. All right, our spirit has been reconciled to God. The soul is the union of body and spirit together. Your soul has not yet been redeemed. That comes through the resurrection of the dead, where body and spirit are both renewed. Wow.
So, let's understand this. How many of you see what I'm saying here? Right. People like that will never learn. They will never learn. As long as they hold to their opinions above the Word of God, they'll never learn. So, do you see the point? Now, understanding. So this is the conundrum. Man's soul is corrupt. So how does God redeem man's corrupt soul? How does Jesus dying on a cross redeem us? How does that work? Well, it's in the same order that Adam lost it, huh? First the spirit and then the body, right? First the spirit and then the body. Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves, Queen. Let's take it a step at a time. Now, isn't it true that man's spirit was cut off from God first, and then that was manifested in his body to bring forth corruption and therefore death? Let me explain something that you can see in Adam and Eve. Adam was told in the day he ate of that fruit he would most certainly die. Now, was God talking about a 24-hour day? No. How long is a day with God? Somebody tell me. How long is a day with God? 1,000 years. You can read this in Psalms and you can read it in 2 Peter. A day with God is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years are as a day. Now, the moment that man sinned, spiritually he was cut off from God in that moment, wasn't he? How can you tell that? Because he went and hid himself. I want you to understand something about both corruption and righteousness. Something about sin and righteousness. Sin and righteousness both start in the spirit. Sin and righteousness both start in the spirit, not the body. The body is where it's manifested. In other words, so it can be seen. Adam's death was manifested in his spirit in the fact that he was cut off from God, who is the source of life. The minute Adam sinned, he hid himself from God, didn't he? In that moment that Adam sinned, his fellowship with God was broken, wasn't it? That's when he saw that he was naked and he was ashamed and he hid himself. You see the separation of the spirit right there? In that moment, the spirit of man is cut off. It's dead to God. All right? But we see that death has to be manifested to the body. Right? It took Adam died at 930 years old, just 70 years short of 1,000 years. 70 years short of a full day. Do you see that? So the moment Adam ate of the fruit, it was, you know, his spirit was cut off from God. Right. And so that was manifested, that death, that corruption was manifested to his body, and it took 930 years for that manifestation to be complete. So, you see the order in which Adam lost it with God. First the spirit and then the body. Right? How many of you see that? First the relationship and then life. Now, you see how it's restored? Is it in the same order? First your spirit is reconciled to God and then your body through the resurrection of the dead. So, the resurrection of the dead is the manifestation of that reconciliation of your spirit. Can you see that? As there was a time between Adam spiritually being cut off and his body dying, there is a time between your spirit being reconciled to God and it being manifested in your body through the resurrection of the dead. How many of you see that? Awesome, isn't it? Now, so how does Jesus dying in a body reconcile you? Now notice Jesus didn't have to die spiritually because Jesus is God. Can God die? When we look at Christ, who He was spiritually and physically. Physically He was a man, but spiritually He's God by nature, right? Philippians 2, He put on the likeness of human flesh. But He's God by nature. Let me show you a verse. Who being in very nature God, it tells us. Philippians 2. Let's really take this and look at it now. And I know that this is tedious,
But it's important for you to understand. It says, let this mind be which is in you, which was also in Christ, Jesus. Now this is talking about his humility. Who being in the very form of God, that's his nature, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon the form of a servant, flesh, and when it was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. Wow. So you can see that Jesus' nature in the spirit was that of God, but Jesus' nature in the body was that of a man. So that Jesus is both man and God. Now, this is important. This is why Jesus is the bridge between these two natures. Because spiritually he's God, and physically he's a man. Can y'all see that? How many of you see that? So he is the bridge between man and God. Right? So, now Jesus, though he was God by very nature, it tells us that he laid aside, he made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. Now this is important for you to understand about Jesus. When Jesus walked as a man, he didn't live as God. He laid aside what it meant to be God. Not that he couldn't call it back at any moment, but you've got to understand that everything Jesus did as a man, everything he did as a man, he had to do as a man. Because it was man that needed to be reconciled to God, not God. Jesus never once called upon his own deity to do any of the miracles he did. That would have upset the whole plan, huh? He, as a man, had to fulfill the law. Can y'all see that? As a man, he had to be one who pleased God. He had to be a man who pleased God. You understand? So he humbled himself to live as a man would have to, in dependence upon God. Everything he did in dependence in that relationship with his Father. Because he knew his Father. Faith. He trusted his Father. Faith. Right? If Jesus would have called upon his own deity to do anything, it would have upset the plan. Jesus is reconciling men back to God, not God back to God. You understand? How many of you see this? So Jesus took on the form of a man and lived as a man would have to, independent upon God. And as a man that Adam couldn't produce, he was found to be righteous and one who pleased God. The only man who ever pleased God. Right? And by being the only man who ever pleased God, the law judged him to be that, didn't it? He fulfilled the law. Now, I want you to understand something about the law at this point. The law describes a perfect man, doesn't it? Is this true or not true? If you were a perfect man, you'll do this, this, and this, and you won't do this, 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 and this. Right? The law judges a tree by its fruit. Right? Just like it judges you by your actions. It judges your nature by the actions you produce. Jesus' actions as a man were all righteous, and therefore the law judged him to be righteous. Therefore, you see, the law is a prophecy of a righteous man, and that Jesus is the fulfillment of that prophecy. Let me see that again. The law is a prophecy of a righteous man who would come, and Jesus proved he is the fulfillment of that prophecy. Now, this gives him the right, because the law judged him to be righteous, this gives him the right to lay down his life for you. Right? This gives him the right to lay down his life for you. If the law judged him righteous, only innocent blood can cover sin. Right? If the law has judged him to be innocent blood, then he can lay down his life for you in your place.
and redeem you from the law's curse, which is corruption. Right? Death. So Jesus laid down his body to the law in order to redeem your body.
Now, this is the importance of this. Remember, Adam came in bondage to the body through its desires, trying to fulfill the body's desires, right? And so the spirit came in bondage to the body. That means the flesh's desires in that soul, that corrupt union, the flesh's desires is what ruled that union, huh? So that the spirit became a slave to do what the body desired.
Is this true? Is this true?
So that means where the body goes, the spirit has to go. True? Where the body goes, the spirit has to go, because the body has become the spirit's master through those desires. Right? So if your body goes into the grave, hell, death, corruption, then the spirit has to go with it, doesn't it? Right? But Jesus dying in a body redeems your body from corruption. And if you're... All right, let me say it again. If your body... Your spirit is in bondage to your body, right, Dodi? To its desires. Your spirit came in just like a crackhead is in bondage to crack, right, through its desires. So the spirit is in bondage to the body in fulfilling its desires. Right. The spirit is in bondage.
Can you see that? Your body is corrupt and corrupting, and your spirit is in bondage to that corruption.
So that the body's desires are the master. Right? That's that soul of Adam, the body's desires. Right? So the spirit has to go where the body goes. Yeah, spirit can go to the grave, but not the same place, because it's dimensional. Right? The body goes into hell, the grave, and your spirit goes into the spiritual counterpart, the prison of spirits, that hell. In other words, if your body goes into death and corruption, then your spirit has to go into spiritual corruption, doesn't it? Right? The spirit has to go where the body goes.
So all those who die in Adam, that's what happens, and that's why people go to hell. Their bodies go into the grave, and their spirits go into that spiritual counterpart of the grave, hell. Everybody get that? Because the spirit must go where the body goes, because its master is that soul of Adam, that corrupt union.
But Jesus, by dying in the body of a man, what was the promise to Jesus, a righteous man? Can death hold a righteous man, Dodi? Can you corrupt righteousness? Can you corrupt righteousness? So even though Jesus died to the law in our place, he's still an innocent man, isn't he? Can death hold Christ? Can death hold righteousness? No. So Jesus, by dying in your place, he has substituted his righteousness for your sin. Right? So he has redeemed your body by dying in his body. By giving his body over to death, he's redeemed your body. And here's the good part. If he has redeemed your body from death, remember, then the spirit is free. If the body is redeemed from death and the spirit goes where the body goes, then the spirit is free from corruption, right? By redeeming your body, then the slave to the body is redeemed, isn't it? Can you see that? Now, so your spirit can be free now, reconciled to God, in anticipation of the body's redemption through the resurrection.
Your spirit can be free now and reconciled to God through faith in anticipation of the promise of the body's redemption. Let me say that again. Your spirit can be free now because you have the promise of the body's redemption through Christ.
Your spirit can be reconciled to God now through faith. Right? Because you have a promise that the body will be redeemed. If you have a promise from God, you can receive that promise now through faith, can't you? So can you see now the reconciliation and the redemption? Your spirit is reconciled through the promise of the resurrection of the dead, the redemption. Your spirit is free now through faith, reconciled to God, because of the promise of the body's redemption in the resurrection. Can you see it? And so the order of that soul is redone, huh? If the spirit rises now, then we can take that body we consider dead and submit its members unto Christ, can't we? Through faith. Because our hope is the resurrection of the dead. Right, it's the only way. Exactly, you see it, Dodie. Praise God. And that's how Jesus, his innocence for your guilt, his redemption for your corruption, his righteousness freeing you from your unrighteousness. And we see what Jesus' body became through the resurrection, and so you see your promise echoed, mirrored, the resurrection of the dead. And that's why the true adoption of sons, the true born again, is the resurrection. Your body, your soul, your spirit can only be free now in promise of that, you know, in faith of that promise. How many of you see that? So, you know, and this really shows you the truth that what you have now is by faith. Your hope is in the resurrection. Your faith is in Jesus' death. Faith and hope, reconciliation and redemption. Right now, you've been reconciled through faith, but you will be redeemed through the resurrection. And that's a new soul in proper order, huh? Where the body is in submission to the spirit, who's in submission to Christ. You see that? And so Jesus brought us more than we lost. He brought us a new nature. Because the nature he shares with us is not that of a body only, but that of his spirit, which is God. And you have been, that's why you can receive the Holy Spirit now, through faith, joined with your spirit. Because by the Spirit, he is God. So you have been made partakers of the Spirit of Christ. And if the Spirit of Christ be in you, then God is your Father, and you become a child of God.
Can you see that? And that's why Jesus' name is called Emmanuel, God with us. How many of you see that? Praise God. This is our gospel. And there's not another. This is it. This is exactly how it works. That's a good place to stop.